Well, you've probably learned over time what that music right there means. Of course, it's our house band and Bad Authority. We appreciate them leading us into another edition of KCIM Sports Rewind. Jeff Blankman and Mason Nealon with you on this Tuesday. John Ryan turned like 24 yesterday, I think. Yeah. The birthday was yesterday, so he's out celebrating, probably recovering, probably the better word. But John not going to be with us today. So, Mason, it's just the two of us. You ready to talk for a half an hour straight?
Yeah.
You are?
It's going to be fun.
All right, I'm going to go take a nap. Take over.
All right.
I tell you what, Mason, we've been talking about this now for a few weeks. We kind of were wondering if it was going to come this early or when it would come, but the news broke yesterday that the Hawkeye 10 Conference, we knew they were trying to expand. They want to go into a big division and a small division for school size. They've now made an effort to bring in two new schools. One of them, of course, is the hometown Carroll Tigers here. So Carroll High and Trainer yesterday getting that invite from the Hawkeye 10 Conference. Now, they've given both of the schools a deadline of September the 1st of this year to get back to them and determine. We did reach out yesterday to Carroll High and got a little bit of information from them, but they want to wait to join us to talk about this until they have an actual time to kind of sit down and maybe chat about it a little bit and gather some more details probably and stuff instead of just getting the invite. So it's going to be interesting. We've kind of been, like I said, waiting for this to come, but now the day is here, at least with the invite.
Yeah, I mean, we talked maybe – for us, we were saying 5-10 years down the line, this could happen. It happened probably 2-3 weeks after we were talking about it. But the deadline thing kind of caught me off guard is that you're only giving them about a couple of months here to say yes or no with such a big decision that could kind of shape the way that their athletic department goes for the next couple of years. But I think I've said it a couple times here. I don't mind the move of Carroll going to the Hawkeye 10 when it comes to competition, because you look at some of the schools here and it's kind of not relative to their size, but relative to kind of some of the skill that they bring to the table. It'll make it a fun competition, and I think the Raccoon River is only getting bigger with them being a lot of metro schools here, so I wouldn't mind the move of Carroll going that way.
And you're a former Carroll Tiger grad, for anybody that doesn't know that, so this means something to you a little bit, your alma mater. You covered them for Tiger Vision for all those years that you were a part of Tiger Vision, so for you to look at this, now you mentioned that, I'm not surprised that it came maybe this quick, yeah, I was thinking maybe a year down the road. I do think that September 1st deadline is, we want to know by September the 1st. That doesn't mean that they're going to be joining, you know, for this upcoming school year or for the maybe even the next school year. It might be a year or two down the road, but they just want to know. So that way, if they don't accept, then they can move on to probably another target on their list. But you talk about it. You covered a lot of Tiger Vision games and Carroll games against the teams in the Raccoon River Conference. When you say you talk about the competition level, because the ADMs, the Carlisles, the Bondurant, Ferrars, the North Polks, the Ballards, you know, of the world, the Winterset's even a little bit, they're seeing such a, you know, a growth, especially North Polk. My gosh, the facilities that they are building down there at North Polk and the amount of money that they're able to put into their facilities. Carroll will never do that. For one, they don't have it. And number two, we learned with the original vote on the football stadium, you know, 8-9 years ago, that there's no way this community will support putting those type of facilities together. And that's what it's going to take to compete in the Raccoon River Conference anymore, because everybody else is getting big enough, has the tax base to be able to go out and do that.
Yeah, they're finding athletes that are coming from kind of that Des Moines area, and yep, they're coming out to these other schools. And when I went to North Polk for the first time back in like my freshman or sophomore year, I walk in and I see this huge glass-covered facility for weightlifting, and I'm like, wow, why? How do you have the money to do this? But I'm like, you look at kind of some of the stuff that they can offer that Carroll can't offer, and I'm like, it makes more sense sometimes for Carroll to be in a conference where the Hawkeye 10 kind of is a similar way. When you look at Kemper, I mean, they offer almost the same thing that Carroll does. But when you look at kind of the Raccoon River Conference, I think that some of the doubt goes where Carroll's going to be more ready to go into a postseason when they play teams like Bondurant and Carlisle and ADM, opposed to some of the teams the Hawkeye 10 offers. But I think that it's kind of 50-50 for most people, where it's like the competition's better in the Raccoon River, and that's kind of been your home for a while now, so why would you leave? But also, it's kind of enticing to play a team like Kemper two times in a year.
Well, and Harlan and Denison and Atlantic, those are some schools that they generally tend to try and play in non-conference. Those would now be conference games. So for you, do you think the move makes more sense because you're kind of saying that you feel that competition-wise, Carroll is struggling a little bit to compete because of the growth that you're seeing in the communities in the Raccoon River, or do you think that the travel plays? I know some people are going to say, well, Shenandoah and Red Oak and the Council Bluffs schools in Glenwood are long travels. I just had somebody message me yesterday and say it's going to be more travel going to the Hawkeye 10 than it is the Raccoon, and I'm like, I don't know if I'd go that far simply because Denison, Harlan, Kemper, of course, and Atlantic are all a pretty much a shorter drive or the same drive as Boone, and you get four of those for every season. Where in the Raccoon, you just get Boone, and then everything else is like driving to Shenandoah or Glenwood or anything like that. And so I think you're going to travel less in the Hawkeye 10 Conference.
Yeah, obviously you're not going to like the time that you see the Shenandoah drive, but when you look at it, I mean, every other school is either an hour and a half to 2 hours away.
Right.
And for this one, I mean, you're going to have Denison about 30 minutes, Atlantic and Harlan's about an hour, and Kemper's maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, cross town. So yeah, I'm like, you don't even have to take a bus. Yeah,
all the kids can drive there
in their own cars.
And so, I mean, when you look at it, too, it's like, logistically, it makes a lot of sense for travel.
Yep.
But like I say, I think they struggle with the fact that, you know, those Des Moines schools are only getting bigger.
Yep.
They're going to make it better for you guys when you go to the playoffs. And for me, I saw Carroll as kind of a basketball school when I look at it. And so that's kind of where I base a lot of this off of. The girls' basketball was doing okay in the Raccoon River last year. I think they were top three.
Yep.
But for boys' basketball, for a while, they competed at the top of the Raccoon River. But last year were kind of a middle-of-the-pack team. And I think that a lot of those schools are just getting better when it comes to boys basketball because I think the Raccoon River thrives in boys basketball.
Yeah, and they're striving now in baseball. They have for a long time in softball and volleyball as well. You mentioned, you know, the kids from the Des Moines metro area. It may be not that you're getting some leak over of a kid that can't, you know, maybe start at Johnston or get a lot of playing time or at Waukee or something that may end up going to a North Polk or a Winterset or something like that. And I'm, you know, and stuff like that, and open enroll. And everybody's got the ability to be able to do that. But I think what you're seeing as well is as the Des Moines metro area continues to grow, I may work as a mom and dad, you know, in the Des Moines area, but I don't want to live in the Des Moines area. So it's pretty easy for me to go to North Polk, which is 3 minutes outside of Ankeny, you know, and stuff like that. And it's got a little smaller town feel. So you're getting, you know, more people filing into those communities, and then they play year round in the Des Moines area and all the different, you know, off season leagues and everything else. And you're not getting as much of that. There is some of that around here, but for the people that are doing around here, they're having to travel so far to be able to do it, where it's not much of a travel for those communities in that area. So I ADM's just going to continue to get bigger. North Polk, you know, eventually that's going to be a suburb of Ankeny. There's no real travel distance now between, you know, North Polk and the Ankeny area. I can remember 20 some years ago when I farmed in that area that, you know, you'd drive 20 minutes to get from Alleman down to, you know, to the north part of Ankeny. And now it's a hop, skip, and a jump, you know, and stuff like that. And you're right there. So I think it's an intriguing move. I think the thing you bring up about, you know, the competition level, I think this is probably going to frustrate Hawkeye 10 fans out there. But, you know, 10, 15 years ago, the Hawkeye 10 was probably a better conference. I think right now, if you matched up the Raccoon River and the Hawkeye 10, you'd probably have to say across the board that the Raccoon River Conference has become a tougher conference, and a lot of that's because of the growth of the size of the communities that are making up that and just the success that they're now having at state. I also think that one other thing that has to be brought up, I was talking with another media source last night and stuff, and they are also in the Hawkeye 10 Conference, and I had not heard this yet because it's not been official, but the Missouri River Conference has touched base with three Hawkeye 10 schools about potential interest, you know, or thrown out, you know, hey, you know, we haven't officially invited you, but what do you think, you know, to Denison, Schleswig, to Harlan, and Lewis Central about maybe joining the Missouri River Conference? I think if you're Carroll High, you probably need to look into that some, because if all of a sudden you lose Lewis Central, Dennis and Schleswig and Harlan, and with Dennis and Schleswig and Harlan being two of the closest travels that you were hoping to get, and two of the schools closer to your own size, I think you have to look at that. If they end up leaving, is the Hawkeye 10 as enticing as it was maybe with those schools in it? So I think there's a lot of things that, you know, Randy Beeson and everybody up at Carroll High, the school board, the administration, they have to dig into now.
Yeah, and I think not in a bad way here, but I think the Hawkeye 10 kind of has a target on their back when it comes to other conferences trying to go and get their schools, because, I mean, now what, two or three conferences have invited, yep, or unofficially or officially have talked to schools there to try and get them into their conference, and I think that the Hawkeye 10 just offers schools that are a little bit smaller and a little bit bigger, and that's why they went to that format of kind of a large division, small division there.
Yep.
But I feel like that also opens the door for some conferences to say, hey, we want you to come join our conference, maybe come play there. But I think for Carroll, it'd be important, since they have that deadline, maybe see if you can reach out and see if Denison or Harlan or Lewis Central has interest going that way. Because with the deadline being in September, you probably want to know before,
absolutely,
you jump into the conference if you're going to be losing those two schools that are closer and a good school in Lewis Central.
Yeah, and we see all the conference realignment all the time in college sports, and that's where a lot of people focus. They don't realize that there actually is college or a conference realignment almost within about every 5 years. Somebody's moving a conference. May not be in our part of the state, but somebody's moving conferences. Last year or 2 years ago, there was some conference realignment, heavy conference realignment over in kind of the eastern Iowa, northeast Iowa area of the state. Now you're just seeing it started with the Rolling Valley Conference. You know, West Harrison joins up with Missouri Valley for their athletics and may not ever have athletics again. So the Rolling Valley Conference kind of went, ooh, you know, we may be losing a few schools, and you know, some of our smaller schools may not be around a whole lot longer, so we've got to protect ourselves. So they invite, you know, Audubon, IK Manning, and several other schools. Audubon and IK Manning have approved to move. That affects the WIC. So now the Western Iowa Conference says, oh boy, we can't be sitting down here with, you know, low numbers and then starting having teams pick us off, because there was rumors that the Hawkeye 10 was going to go after Underwood and Trainer. And, you know, Underwood, from what I've gathered, is not going anywhere, at least for probably a few years. So now the Hawkeye 10's kind of trying to go after the WIC. So the WIC's going after some of the Hawkeye 10 schools, and everybody's just trying to save their conferences in a way. And I don't think it's going to be done with the current moves that are going on, because now if you're the Raccoon River Conference, okay, somebody's coming after Carroll, do you try and replace Carroll? Because I know, say, Dell and Nevada have both wanted back into the league after leaving, you know, more than a decade ago. There's rumors that Van Meter might be a few years away from wanting to move in to the Raccoon River Conference as they continue to maybe grow a little bit and become a bigger community. So I don't think this is going to be the end of teams jumping conferences here in the next few years, especially here in our part of the state.
Yeah, like you said, I think it all starts with those small schools. When some of those small schools start to go away from athletics, the smaller conferences say, hey, we need someone. So they pick off a little bit bigger schools from a conference.
Yep.
And that conference has to pick off bigger, and it keeps going down and down. But I think the Raccoon River, honestly, I think within the next 5 years, they have a chance of losing both Carroll and Boone. But from what I heard when I was in high school, as well as now, a lot of the schools in the Des Moines metro area did not enjoy having Carroll and Boone in the conference, because they figure, well, it's a 30-minute drive here, 10-minute drive there, and then out of nowhere, you got an hour and 45 minutes going back west to go play Carroll. So they're like, well, if we lose Carroll, it should be fine. But I think when it comes to the commissioner of the Raccoon River, I think that they're going to honestly look back towards that Des Moines metro and just make the Raccoon River kind of a Des Moines area conference.
I 100% agree. I think as far north as you'll get is probably Gilbert, because I don't see them going anywhere. But I do eventually see Boone. Boone had an opportunity to move into the league. Heart of Iowa, I think it was, with Greene County and those schools in it. And they decided to stay where they're at currently here in the Raccoon River Conference. But I think if Carroll jumps, you could see Boone, you know, revisiting the idea of getting out. I know that some of the coaches over there would like to get out of the Raccoon River Conference. The one comment I'll make, and I'm saying it kind of a little bit half-hearted, lightly, I'm not trying to make anybody mad at us here, but, you know, for all of the Raccoon River Conference schools that are having to travel to Carroll, that complained about having to travel to Carroll, Quit whining. You come here once a season, maybe. Carroll High has to drive that travel for every single road game. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where the complaint is that they have the one bus trip per season, maybe, over to Carroll, where if you literally think about it, Carroll High has to travel that. Their shortest travel is Boone. We've talked about that. Every other travel is a long travel. You do it once, Carroll High does it 5 to 6 times a lot of times a season. I don't understand the complaining from the other side.
Yeah, and I mean, Carroll, when it comes to that, even in the postseason, they don't have short travels. I mean, you look at right. their softball team, they're going to Lamar's, which yeah. is not a short haul at
Baseball's
all.
Baseball's going to Sergeant Bluff Luton.
Like, yeah. They have to go to all these Raccoon River schools over in the Des Moines area. And I mean, it's a nice travel for some of the kids that like to go out and travel for games or whatever. But right. I think the kids wouldn't mind a short car ride over to Kemper, a 30-minute drive over to Denison, an hour drive to Harlan. But a lot of that's going to be just based on what the parents feel with the board, I feel like.
Right.
And kind of what the community thinks. And I think it'll take time. So I think that September 1st deadline is going to be a little bit kind of short, right. I think, is that, you know, a big decision like that that could impact a lot of futures for athletics is going to be kind of a short decision. But I think that they won't come to a consensus, but I think they'll be kind of close to where they want to be.
I feel sorry for like a Randy Beeson, because as the AD, most school officials kind of get the summer somewhat off. A lot of them have other part-time jobs, or if they help out coach or those kind of things. So it's not like they sit around and not do much. But, you know, Randy has to work because of the contract through the baseball-softball season, which it takes him through the end of July. Now, all of a sudden, then school starts, you know, about 3 weeks after that. So him and his family get a short period of time to maybe now you have this thrown into the mix. So now he may be on vacation, but handling phone calls and sitting in on meetings, you know, and stuff like that to be able to be a part of this discussion and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really, really interesting. The other part of it for us. In talking with some of the coaches over the years, and I'm not going to use any names, there's not many coaches that I've talked to up at Carroll High that I think want to make the move. They, as you mentioned earlier, I think they like the competition that the Raccoon River Conference, you know, gives them. I think that they feel like they're challenged, and it makes them better and more prepared for postseason to play that kind of competition. I heard a lot of the same things from parents down in the ICAM Manning and even in the Audubon area with their move from the WIC to the Rolling Valley Conference. The only thing I guess I say to that, without, again, you know, trying to sound like I'm making a decision here, you can still play some of those schools non-conference and have a tough non-conference schedule if that's what you're concerned about is maybe not having enough tough teams in the conference or whatever, then go out and schedule a tough non-conference schedule to challenge yourself. On the spin side of that, when you're in a conference that you're having a hard time competing in anymore and being ultra successful, you know, you get to the point where, yes, it may make you better for the postseason, but all of a sudden now you're having to make those trips to Lamar's, you're having to make those trips to Sergeant Bluff Luton, where you're not going to be the favorite because your record's not as good. You get into a conference where maybe you can be more competitive, you can have a better record, maybe you get a chance to host some postseason games, maybe you get a chance to be a little bit of a better seed because your record's better, and you get a little easier opening round or second round game, and you get a chance to get on a little bit of a roll and advance into the postseason instead of a lot of times ending up having to get stuck against, you know, a power team right away in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think it will be interesting to see kind of how baseball and softball do in the playoffs here.
Yep.
Maybe if Carroll can sneak in a win in baseball or sneak in a win in softball, maybe
And those are certainly possible. Absolutely. Yeah,
maybe if they do that, maybe the parents look and say, hey, maybe they're a little bit right about being prepared for the playoffs when it comes to playing these Raccoon River teams. But I think if both teams lose pretty handedly, I think that kind of goes for the parents to say, well, we play all these good teams the entire year, and then we go to the postseason, we're one and done. I think it's going to take a little bit of factor into that, and I think another factor, too, is Coach Beeson, being both the boys' basketball coach and the AD, he's probably going to have a bigger opinion compared to some people because he's doing both of the duties there, so he's covering right. all of the sports departments as well as coaching for boys' basketball.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting discussion. I did reach out to Randy yesterday and ask if he could kind of keep as up-to-date as possible as this process goes along so that, you know, we can pass that information on to people. Hopefully our news department does cover the school board meeting. So hopefully as those conversations are happening, and I'm sure some of them will be at school board meetings, hopefully we'll be able to kind of find out what's going on there as well. But yeah, Carroll High and Trainer yesterday getting invited to the Hawkeye 10 conference. So we'll figure out and see what is going to be happening there. We'll step away, take a break. Mason and I are going to talk baseball and softball postseason. We're already in that season. We'll talk that when we come back.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Oh, hopefully Jeff Honnold is smiling. He doesn't do that very often anymore, but hopefully Jeff Honnold is smiling with the old Jim Mora playoffs.
I think the last time I heard that was when I was on the scoreboard show this last year, and Honnold looks at me and goes, hit the button that says playoffs.
Yep, that's his button. He created that button. And, you know, he misses it sometimes, I think. But, you know, we don't – well, do we miss Honnold?
Yeah.
I will say you made a comment to me the other day that, you know, you're like, you know, when I first started and started sitting in on Rewinds and listening to you guys picked on Honnold like every game and every time that you were on the show. And you've been really nice to him lately. You were like, you were kind of surprised at that.
It was kind of like deceptive. I was like waiting to say something bigger, or like, because, you know, you're a little nice to him if you're going to drop kind of a bigger bomb. But yes. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. So sitting there, I'm like, I haven't heard Honnold's name in a while. I wonder what they're doing.
Yeah, I think most of our listeners have been really happy about that. So, but it is postseason time. I know some people say this isn't technically the playoffs. It's the postseason, that only football season has the playoffs. But it's kind of fun to throw Jim Mora out there at this time of the year and let everybody know it's the postseason time. You've had a couple of games here so far. You did Audubon and Glidden in baseball on Saturday, and then last night you did IKM Manning River Valley in softball. So how's the postseason treating you, and how fun's been so far?
The Audubon Glidden one was a part of a doubleheader, and the first game was pretty fun to watch. The second game there, I'm going. I was worried about the weather for a while, but got through the entire game. Glidden picking that one up. It was kind of a comeback win for them. And then while I was interviewing head coach Eric Borkowski, we look out because I was looking at him, and I turned to the left, and it's absolutely downpouring.
Yes.
I was like, well, that's fun. And then for the IKM Manning one, I mean, those girls worked really hard all year under head coach Andy Schwery, and I think that they were ready and they were hungry to get a postseason win. And it was kind of, I think it was 1-0 going into the bottom of the third, and they score 6 runs in that bottom of the third inning. And they bunted a lot. They laid down a lot of sacrifice bunts in that third inning. And I will say that is kind of on Coach Schwery being able to adjust there, because a lot of what River Valley was doing is they were checking third first and then trying to throw over to first. But a lot of those IKM Manning girls are fast.
Yep.
So they were getting to first before she can even turn around and throw there. And so they were moving runners around very constantly. And then also credit to Allie McGinn there, almost having a walk-off home run in the sixth inning there, probably about a foot short of that one, but they ended up winning 10-2, and the girls were all happy and kind of smiling when they came over and talked to me.
Did they say anything about getting revenge on River Valley? They were beating River Valley like 9-1 or 10-1 in the fourth inning earlier, just last week, and ended up losing that game in 9 innings. So
exactly,
was this, they won the game that really mattered, right?
Yeah,
the postseason game?
That's exactly what Allie said. She was like, well, we won the one that mattered, and that's all that matters to us. And then but yeah, it was 7 days apart on the exact same field. They lost 11-10, and then they come back and they win 10-2 in the postseason. I think if they were going to trade anything, I think they'd rather have the postseason win compared to the regular season win there. But the girls were all smiling. Now they get a Newell Fonda team that we've seen a couple times in our local area. So,
but Newell Fonda beatable. Xyrocorn Kimbledon went up there. Audubon went up there last week and knocked them off. So that's a beatable team potentially this year. I'll have to go back and double-check the numbers. But you mentioned that the softball girls from IKM Manning getting a postseason win last night. I think this group came into the school year that's now ending technically with the summer season coming up. They wanted a win in volleyball in the postseason, and they got it. I think they wanted a win in basketball, and they got it, and now they got a win in softball. So I think this group that had never won a postseason game has now won a postseason game in all of the last three sports, and then they had some really good success in track. So the future looking pretty good. Interesting. Saturday, we opened up the baseball playoffs. Speaking of ICAM Manning, what a heartbreaker for them. They lead the entire game against Newell Fonda, who happened to be the home team on the scoreboard. They give up four runs in the bottom half of the sixth inning to end up falling behind for the first time 6-5 and end up losing that game 6-5. But Brock Kuzel had a terrific start for him. Cash Ewan played well in that game. I thought the defense played well behind Brock. Just couldn't quite put enough gap between Newell Fonda and them. And Newell Fonda started putting some real pressure on them and on the defense and getting some guys on base in about the fourth inning, and eventually was able to kind of get what they needed to be able to advance. They'll take on Cam. I thought Arweva played well, only lost 7-0, got a good start from Wyatt Regaler. Just couldn't quite get the bats going. And I know Jake Danner, the head coach, talked with us in the postgame. They ended up probably too many looking strikeouts. And I think I told Jake, I'm like, that's just not your team this year. Every game I go to, it's amazing to me how many kids are not swinging the bat and protecting the plate with two strikes. You have to swing and foul anything off. It's if a tough pitch, you got to foul it off, because if you don't swing, you give yourself no chance to be able to either get the hit or to stay alive. So we've seen a lot of kids and teams this year struggle with that looking third strike this season.
Yeah, I do want to give credit to the ICAM Manning boys. I mean, losing a game like that, they could have gone home and just kind of gave up on the summer season. But a lot of those boys were actually out there sitting in center field and supporting the girls, and I saw a lot of them out there. So I was like, that gives credit to kind of the attitude and the programs that they're building down there at ICAM Manning.
Yes.
Is that the boys are going out there after a heartbreak loss on Saturday, turning around on Monday and going out there and watching the girls, supporting them get their postseason win.
Well, I saw the softball girls down there supporting them on Saturday down in Anita, so glad that they returned the favor. ESAC Saturday was supposed to play. That got postponed and played last night. They fall to Ridgeview 11-2, finished up with seven hits in the game. Kale Roth had a pretty good game for them, but a big five-run bottom half of the fourth inning for Ridgeview kind of separated them last night and put them up by a score of 9-1, so ESAC season comes to an end. South Central Calhoun advanced Saturday. They've seen Southeast Valley now three times this year, and they get the win when it matters the most. Nick Brinks had that one. You and I were both shocked that you had the big rainstorm that went through there, and he took a picture and tweeted it out of the field, and it looked like it was a pond, and somehow they were still able to get the field dry down after the rain stopped and get the game played.
Yeah, I almost thought that you could almost bring a fishing pole out there to the field and catch something in that, because it was about a foot of water from the area that he had. And I was like, how are you going to play that? And I texted him after, and I go, how'd they get the game done? And he goes, I don't know. They just put the tarp down early, and then they got some of the water off, and they played it through. And credit to South Central Calhoun to be able to shut out Southeast Valley in the playoffs and win 3-0.
Yeah, and speaking of the softball postseason last night, again, Kemper rolling by Nottoway Valley. We certainly can't have the show without talking about Miley Schaefer last night. She's just returning from injury, been back about a week. Last week was the first week that she started to pitch a little bit for them. She goes out and strikes out 15 girls in five innings last night. Did give up the one triple that led to a run, because there had been a runner had gotten on base via walk, I think, prior to that. But 15 strikeouts in five innings. That means she struck everybody out for every out. The defense didn't have to field anything and make an out all night.
Yeah, and that's got to be something that head coach Aaron Bowman looks at and says, well, maybe we're getting Miley back to her full form.
Yep.
Going into a big matchup with Van Meter, that one going to be a tough one with Van Meter. But if Miley's going to pitch that way and only give up the one hit and a couple walks and strike out 15, I think that you have to feel good and think you might have a chance to stay competitive in that game.
Absolutely, and that'll be Wednesday night. Nick Brinks again. We'll be covering with him, living in Ames. A little shorter trip for him to head down to Van Meter than one of us on Wednesday night. Arweva Coon Rapids Baird last night was a really tight game early on. Coon scored three in the bottom of the first. Arweva came back with three in the second to tie it at four. It stayed tied till four. Arweva kind of started to pull away a little bit with a four-run fourth inning, and then added four runs again in the fifth. Coon stayed alive last night, getting a run in the bottom of the fifth, but Arriva scored in the top of the sixth and ended up holding on to end that one last night. So those were the softball postseason games. Forget South Central Calhoun as well last night. They ended up falling to Alta Aurelia on the road 10-2. But for a Titan team that had really kind of struggled this season, and I know their season came to an end, and we feel sorry for those kids to have it, and the coaches as well. But I thought maybe they played their best game of the season last night. So kudos and tip your cap to them that they went out and fought really hard in that opening round of the postseason last night.
Yeah, for them, I mean, it was just about proving something there, and I think that they proved that no matter how the record looked or some of the games that they looked at, those girls still stayed in it, and they fought the entire year and kind of played their hearts out in the final game, which is all that matters when it comes to some of these postseason games.
You bet. And we're not done yet. Postseason coming up tonight. Of course, you're going to be helping out Nick Brinks on 93.7 KKRL. A couple of our local schools playing each other in baseball, of course, in Glidden-Ralston and Coon Rapids Bear. They've met twice, and Coon's won both of them. And if I remember correct, they were both pretty close to the 10-run rule, if I remember correctly. And then I'll have a doubleheader. I get to make that nice short trip up to Forest City. I didn't realize until I Googled it last night. I'm like, it's 2 hours and 40-minute drive, yeah. So it's going to be a haul to get there today. I'm actually leaving before 1 o'clock this afternoon, so I get up there and get set up before game one. But I'll have Kemper and Esterville, Lincoln Central from Forest City at 5 o'clock tonight, pregame at about 4:45 on Kick 106.7. After that game ends, I'll have the South Central Calhoun and Forest City game, so both of those games coming up on Kick tonight. Can't forget Carroll High wrapping up the regular season, both baseball and softball, hosting Bondurant. For our Tiger baseball team, picked up a nice win last night against ADM. And then more softball postseason tomorrow night. We mentioned Icahn Manning battling Newell Fonda on the road. We'll have Arriva at Glidden-Ralston tomorrow night. That'll be a 5 o'clock start on KKRL with Mason on the broadcast. We'll have Kemper taking on Van Meter tomorrow night on KCIM with Nick Brinks. I feel bad, but we don't have anybody or a station available to go do Xyro, Corn, Kimbleton, Audubon at Pleasantville. That should be a tremendous, tremendous ball game because Xyro, Corn, Kimbleton, Audubon playing about as well as anybody right now, and Pleasantville comes in ranked, jumping into the rankings this week. So can the Spartans knock off their fourth-ranked team in their last five ball games? I think they'll have a good chance to do that with Riley Miller and Taryn Peterson and Anna Larson and Lucy Standerson and the way that group of girls is playing right now. And then our final broadcast game tomorrow night, and the final game of the night is ESAC at Sioux Central in softball, and I'll have that game for everybody on Kick 106.7. Carroll softball up at Lamar's on Kick on Thursday. Carroll baseball at Sergeant Bluff Luton on KCIM on Friday. And then we'll have other softball postseason games on Friday. But we have to wait until after Wednesday night's games play to figure out who's all still playing and where everybody's going to be to figure out who our other two games will be. But more than likely, we'll have three games coming up on Friday and then more baseball postseason on Saturday.
That's a fun time for us, being able to run around and broadcast.
It is. Your first experience with having to go cover games all over the place. Enjoying it so far?
Yeah, I will say I've made the trip over to Logan and kind of that area, that kind of strip of towns there I've been to twice now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the furthest I've gone, but it's been fun to be able to go see the same teams play and be able to watch the same kids play and see how they do, but against different competition in different parts of the state.
And you got to sit in and be a part of the discussion for the Rewind teams this past Sunday as our crew of everybody that helps us out do that sat down. So kind of a nice experience for you there to kind of help choose the kids and where they're going to be on the Rewind team. So we won't announce the teams until Sunday, July the 20th at the All-Star event.
Yeah, I think that one went a little smoother than I thought. I think we agreed on a lot of who was going to be on there and then what team they fit in. But, yeah, kind of suspenseful, not opening the teams up until the 20th. So you're going to have to come out and see who's on what team.
Yep, first team, second team, honorable mention, player of the year, and coach of the year all going to be announced at the event, which is free and open to the public again on July the 20th at the Carroll High School softball field. Everything's going to get underway at 11 o'clock that day with gates opening up about 10:30, 10:45. Well, Mason, we're past time a little bit here. I'm going to blame it on you because every other time that John's been gone that I've had to run the board, the show has ended right at 11 o'clock. So I'm going to say, or right at 10 o'clock. So I'm going to say that it's your fault that we went over the 10 o'clock hour.
That's fine.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody, to KCIM Sports Rewind.